magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Monday, June 25th, 2018. It's Olive Garden dinner club, dinner lunch gathering tonight, today.
Yeah, sounds good to me.
Come on out and enjoy some food, knowing that 10% of your total food purchases at the Olive Garden today and today only between the hours of 11 a.m. and 10 p.m. will be donated back to this radio station. So we appreciate Jason. Let's see, I have to think. I have so many Jasons. There's Jason with the Prime Life Times. There's Jason Schiffo, co-host the Wednesday and Friday. There's Jason that does the deliveries in the Mahomet area.
Goodness.
And then there's Jason.
Is it Hodges?
Hodges, yes. Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
Great guy, a follower of Jesus, the head kahuna over there at the Olive Garden in Champaign. And so
they were a big support at the in the gift box or at the 20th birthday.
He's fed the singing men probably six or eight different times over the years.
Oh, and he did the theater troupe for something.
Yeah, the theater troupe twice.
Yeah,
out in Mahomet, and then we had our celebration after it where he catered Italian dinner, you know, the breadsticks, the salads, the pasta, the braised beef tips. That's like a favorite of everyone.
That's your favorite, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a really good one. That and the lasagna. Yeah. In fact, I measure their lasagna.
You mean with a measuring tape?
Yeah.
You mean
I measure the height of the lasagna? No, the taste.
Oh.
Like whenever I go anywhere else, it always has to measure up to the Olive Garden lasagna.
Yeah.
That's like the pattern of the taste and everything else I measure. It's like when I have the potato salad from the potato salad world king, Ron Fernald. Every potato salad gets measured to him, while all the lasagnas get measured to them.
As in compared to.
Yeah, compared to.
Because I was going to say, I'm not even going to show up tonight if you're going to bring a measuring thing. Measure the lasagna.
It didn't make the standard. It's only 2.5 inches high.
But I will be there. It sounds great. I like Olive Garden so much.
But the thing our listeners need to do, or our primetime readers, when they go in, there's that, what would you say? It's where the hosts stand there and they hand out those little, if there's a line, and they give you that little electronic beeper flasher.
I think host stands.
The host stand. And then they have some menus there. Well, you have to check in and request your Great News Radio, God Listens, You Can Too sticker.
Uh-huh.
And then you need to wear it, and everyone in your party needs to have it or wear it.
Okay.
That way they can identify, and they're going to count how many of those stickers got given away.
Okay.
And then they'll be able to use their magic wand and figure out the factor and the
money's
back.
Now, do people need to say to the waiter?
Yeah, we're here with the Great News Radio. Can I have that?
Sure.
So if you're going to come out today or tonight, realizing that this re-airs at 7:32 p.m.
Yeah. We still come.
You can still come. Yeah, it's open until 10 at night.
Get
so you need that late night snack. Or come on in, have half of it, and then take it home for lunch the next
day. I like to do that.
I do that with the lasagna.
Yeah.
You fill up on the breadsticks.
Oh, yeah.
Then you have the salad, and you get seconds on the salad. So by the time the lasagna comes, it's like, oh, gosh, I can barely eat this. And then take it home. So that's the strategy.
I love their salad dressing.
Yeah. Well, they're French. I have three favorite French dressings. Mm. Texas Roadhouse, phenomenal French dressing.
Mm-hmm.
The ribeye, phenomenal French dressing.
Mm-hmm.
But the Olive Garden restaurant, you can get that Italian dressing.
That's what I get.
But French, try their French dressing.
Okay.
And you can just, you request it. Or what you do is you say, can I have one salad with the French, one with the regular?
Well,
did I say French?
You
I've been
did.
Meaning ranch. Ranch.
Wow.
Substitute ranch wherever I may have said
that's
French.
Oh. I was just about to say you're turning into a dressing connoisseur because you love that poppy seed dressing at Yoder's.
Oh, yeah.
But now you've messed it up.
Yeah. Ranch and poppy seed dressing from Yoder's are the tops. But
so
ranch,
not French at the Olive Garden.
Too many.
Good luck, folks.
I've been looking at all that DNA stuff and French relation, you know, all the genealogies.
Yeah. It's kind of mixed up.
Getting confused. Ranch dressing at the Olive Garden. You'll love it.
Great.
Okay, so enough of that said. Today, being Monday, we're going to look at the June edition of the Prime Life Times because we're in over our heads on the July edition. It's going to be getting to press pretty soon.
Yeah, it is.
So
Monday.
That'll be delivered out in the next few days.
Will we have it by the Olive Garden or not?
No, it looks like the delivery is this Friday.
Okay.
On my calendar here, Friday the 29th, the July edition will come out.
Come out the next day. Okay.
We won't have it.
Close.
Available pretty soon, this week.
Now, we're going to be having the paper read on the air, right?
Yeah, I think it'll be the second Tuesday in July.
I mean, we read it on the air, but I mean in the reader program.
Yeah, the Illinois Radio Reader Program, I think it's called. I think WILL in conjunction with the University of Illinois.
Mm-hmm. NPR,
Some of you may have heard Kathy's radio spot announcing that. And so, yeah, that was something. An email came to me. I kind of passed it off on you to say, hey, follow up on this. This would be a good idea for some of our listeners that may see that as a benefit or a blessing to be able to hear it or read along with some of our international students. I suggested that they could get the paper and then hear it read and follow along. And
They read a lot of papers, apparently, and so ours is now in the mix.
Yeah, I think she showed me, if you just go to Google and put in Illinois Radio Reader, it will give you some options, but it'll be the obvious one that you'll click on, and then it gets a schedule of when the various papers. I think there's six or eight other papers, like the News Gazette, the Something Republic, the Monticello This, and then we're going to be listed soon.
Yeah.
And she was, Kathy was great to talk about and her passion for that and how she has like 100-plus volunteers. They do 7 or so hours of reading, and then they do archive it. So just say you forget, now when is it? The second Tuesday at 1 p.m.?
Well, so you can just go online and read it whenever.
Yeah, you can go on.
Listen whenever.
Yeah, there's a link under archived or somewhere.
Good.
You know, we'll alert you once it's all set up. Yeah. I think she's scheduling volunteers in 2 weeks to do that.
Great.
And so, yeah, it'll be accessible there. And
that's good.
But let's do our own reading here on this, the Monday edition of Mark and Friends. We're looking at the June edition of the Prime Life Times. And actually, this July edition, we've now doubled in size. I saw that. I'm going through some of the proofing. 32 pages. When we got it 8 months ago, it was 16 pages. And so we're up to 32. A lot of great content. It's exciting.
I know.
Where most other papers are downsizing or losing readership or such, ours continues to grow. So we thank God for the great supporters, those that have caught the vision and put in their service or what they provide. I guess you would call it an ad. And then others that are just supporting it. Or some people have contacted me and said, hey, we love what you're doing.
Aww.
We'll donate into the station to help this cause. And I said, oh, yes. I said, this falls under our 501c3. We're a nonprofit radio ministry.
Great.
And this newspaper is a unique way God has gifted us to reach different people and more people and have great God-honoring content that's informative, engaging, and positive. So, everyone wins with this.
So many of our writers are Christians and just great people.
Yeah. So we were talking beforehand. Maybe we can get a story or two in. And I think right on the second page, when I looked at it the first time, I saw MSU. Oh, it's about College Town.
I did the same thing when it got submitted. I thought, now what school is that? Wait.
MSU. Is that Michigan? Is that Michigan State? Michigan State University? But it's not about MSU as far as a college at all, is it?
No, it's not. Shall I read it?
Yes.
Okay. Do You, MSU, by Cindy Guthrie. MSU, we all do it, all the time, every day, for good, bad, and no reason at all. It probably started when we were teenagers, and it's quite hard to stop doing. Okay. I know the suspense is killing you. MSU means...
What? So what? What do you...
to make stuff up.
Make stuff up. MSU. Do you, MSU, make stuff up?
I learned about MSU from one of my favorite college professors. I was working on my master's degree, and he informed the class that many of us already had PhDs in MSU.
Hmm.
It was a class on communication, and it was an eloquent lead-in to helping us learn one way to increase the likelihood that our communication with someone would be more effective. Stop making stuff up. Oh, funny. Why do we MSU in the first place? Simple. To help us make sense of things. We can put a negative or positive spin on information we hear. Here are a couple examples. You have decided that you would like to have pizza tonight for dinner, but you hesitate to ask your spouse, partner, significant other, because the little voice in your head says, my partner never wants to do what I want to do.
Hey, this is reminds me your intonation. Rob, this past Thursday, he was teaching, you know,
yeah.
And he was like, it was the same sentence, and sometimes he'd do the first word.
Yep.
He.
Yeah.
He
went to do it.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that is English.
Yeah.
Okay.
My partner never wants to.
Ah, my spouse never likes to go out. My significant other never likes to eat pizza. Another example would be to decide that you are always going to do a better job of organizing than your friend, family, spouse, partner, significant other.
Hey, that always, I'm sure there's some amens. How many times is there a situation you always do that?
Yeah.
And that, you know, I might come back.
Well,
always? Am I doing it right now?
What about 10 years ago on a Monday? I didn't do it.
Always meets every single time.
That's right.
We've all used that, I bet.
Oh, yeah. Never and always are strong words that can cause consternation in your world because such absolutes typically do not exist.
Yeah.
Using a model known as the ladder of inference, you first examine the observable data. Does the other person at least sometimes do what you want to do? What is the definition of sometimes to you and to the other person? Half the time? 80% of the time? What percentage of time does he or she like to go out? Would he or she say yes to eating pizza, depending on the source of the pizza? Mm. By utilizing the words never and always in your thoughts, you are probably MSU. It's good to remember that your perspective is influenced by your beliefs and prior experience. When you MSU, it's usually quick, typically automatic, without thought. But such behavior can often be detrimental to communication.
Mm.
To reduce your likelihood of MSU, start by looking at the data. Seriously, how often does the other person agree to do what you want to do? Mm. Have you specifically asked about it? Did you provide ample time to consider and provide an answer? Were you specific in what you wanted to do? Ask for what you want. What are the true facts? Are there facts we're missing in the reasoning process? The other must be disinterested in getting pizza. There is somewhere else she or he would rather go. The other person is being obstinate, as usual.
Yeah.
But for communication to be more effective, maybe I could ask instead of MSU again.
Hmm.
Asking sounds like this. Tell me what you want to do. Give me a best scenario.
Hmm.
Would you like to choose where we go to eat tonight? We will all be able to make better sense of our world when we pay attention to the observable data and honor our partner by getting to the observable data, agreeing that this is important to the conversation and no longer making stuff up.
Miss Guthrie is a veteran HR professional, trainer, and life coach, partnering with another transitioning retiree. She has co-founded the Royal Project, programs to help people transition into retirement more smoothly. She can be reached at theroyalproject@yahoo.com. Now, was she at the Texas Roadhouse with Nancy Brain?
Yeah, she was.
Oh,
she
okay.
Was,
very
yeah,
interesting.
They came together.
Gal.
Yes,
yeah,
she
very
is.
Sweet.
Yeah, she is lively, too.
Oh, great.
Yeah, they've co-founded that. They give a lot of seminars, like at Parkland, different places.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Do you MSU
you
anyone?
You never do that.
Oh, gosh. I live on MSU.
You do not.
Okay, no. I like telling stories, but my stories tend to be I'm very concrete random.
Uh-huh.
Did you ever do those?
No, but you told me this once.
Very
it's interesting.
Concrete and random. Like, my words are my words, and
yeah.
I say my words, and they don't differentiate. I don't embellish much. This is exactly how it was.
Right.
I can say it over and over again, but I'm very random.
Just
how
be
I
about
share.
Many subjects, huh?
Yeah, like many subjects at the same time.
Accurate and filled with integrity on many subjects.
Yes, yeah.
Concrete random.
With many tangents on those many
what
subjects.
What kind of test was that?
Oh, one of those personality things.
Oh,
you know,
yeah,
they do, like, are you the beaver or the golden retriever? You know, there's those.
That's scary. What do you mean?
Oh, there's like the four dogs. Like, there's the beaver, the golden retriever.
Well, the beaver's not a dog, but that's okay.
And then there's the, oh.
The parrot.
Oh, yeah, no. That's the animals. Yeah,
oh, many animals.
Yeah, so it's like the beaver, Maybe the lion, that's the golden retriever.
That's not the Myers-Briggs, because that's full of initials, like you're an EMNJ or a JRST
or something. But it's similar to that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's the beavers, the golden retrievers. There's
two
other.
What were you?
Golden retriever.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, but get along with everyone.
Beamer okay with that.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, somebody has to call and tell me what that one was with the animals. I know the beaver and the golden retriever.
I shouldn't announce that. Everybody's going to know now.
Yeah. But the other one with the... I don't know where I took that one, but yeah, the concrete random, and then the other two are sequential.
Oh, this
abstract.
Getting serious. Okay.
Abstract, sequential, concrete, and random.
Is that part of the animal kingdom?
No, this was another thing where you're one of those four.
Oh, it's a different one.
Yeah, it's a different one.
You're one of those four, not the animals.
Yeah,
okay.
Sorry. All right, help me out of this.
Wow.
In our closing 7 minutes,
I cannot help you out of this. Well, we could read about peanuts.
Oh, okay. Tell me a page.
Is there time? It's
B10.
B10. We have a second section.
Oh, that's right. Oh, that's right. Wow. I have to turn over all these pages. Okay, B10.
50s flashback.
Okay, yeah. I love what Kelly did with that header.
I do too. So did Randall, the author. Randall Hill, he's out in Oregon. I think he must be from here, though. I'm not sure. Because he always is saying, how are things back there when he writes? Okay. 17,897 Little Autobiographies by Randall C. Hill. In each of the nearly 18,000 Peanuts comic strips that Charles Schulz produced, he is omnipresent in each of his pen and ink characters. He once told Steve Croft on 60 Minutes, "If you were to read the strip, oh, for just a few months, you would know me. All of my fears, my anxieties, my joys, and almost even all of my experiences go into that strip."
18,000 of them.
I know.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing? The arc of Charles Monroe Schulz's life was established 2 days after his birth in Minneapolis in November 1922. An uncle gave him the nickname Sparky, the term being inspired by the cartoon horse Sparkplug, a character from the comic strip Barney Google.
Now, some of our listeners are probably like, oh, I remember growing up and doing that.
I don't even know what those are.
No,
I feel bad.
Yeah.
Sparky, the only child of Carl and Dina Schulz, proved to be a naturally gifted artist who from age 6 was determined to have a career in cartooning. Following his Central High School graduation and an Army stint as a draftee, Schulz took a job grading lessons at Minneapolis's Art Instruction Incorporated, where he had taken a correspondence course during his adolescence. Do you remember those correspondence courses in art? Anyway, in the off hours...
I failed those. No, I never took any.
Not in the beaver category.
Yeah.
In his off hours, he created Little Folks, which became a locally popular comic strip in the St. Paul Pioneer Press, before United Feature Syndicate, UFS, changed the name and debuted Peanuts nationally in October 1950.
So let's see. He was born in 22, so 28 years old, around the age of 28 he started.
Wow. Okay. Good. Why the name change?
Good math? Is that what you're like?
Yeah, I was going to say good math. I was, yes.
Yep, thank you.
You're welcome. Why the name change? UFS felt that the title Little Folks came too close to Al Capp's popular comic strip Little Abner. At the time, kids in TV's Howdy Doody show audience who sat on studio bleachers were called Peanuts, their name derived from a vaudeville term describing patrons who sat in the cheaper balcony seats, the Peanut Gallery. UFS executives liked Peanuts as a title and overruled Sparky. Schulz despised the name that made him famous and was determined that his concession to United Feature Syndicate people would be the only one where he let anyone or anything influence his work. For nearly 50 years, he maintained an iron-fisted control of a comic strip that he alone laboriously wrote, drew, and lettered by hand 7 days a week.
Wow.
During the 1950s, Schulz developed a deceptively simply drawn group of oddly proportioned, balloon-headed kid characters that included Charlie Brown, Patty, Shermie, Violet, Schroeder, Lucy, Linus, Pigpen, and the dog Snoopy, whom he based on a bizarre family pet who sometimes devoured pins and tacks.
Oh, gosh.
Peanuts often focused on the humbling, insecure worry wart, Charlie Brown, who, along with his sometimes cruel gang of neighborhood peers, spent his days stumbling through the minefield of childhood social interactions. Through his characters, Schultz offered themes never before addressed in a mainstream cartoon strip. Isolation, loneliness, melancholy, unrequited love, all stemming from his interior life. The most famous, revered, and influential comic strip in history, Peanuts, earned Charles Schultz over $1 billion and won him worldwide fame and respect. But sadly, all of his success never allowed him to dispel the cloud of depression that hung over his life, yet fueled his creativity for nearly half a century.
Wow. I bet a bunch of us didn't know this about Charlie Brown.
I sure didn't. I'm
Charles
in the bunch.
Schultz. Wow, very interesting. That's in this month's edition of the Prime Lifetime, still available at nearly 200 area locations. You can find them specifically, at primelifetimes.com, primelifetimes.com, and you'll see the distribution link. And then as you scroll into it, you'll see all the towns are alphabetized, and then whether it's like the Hen House in Arcola or Yoder's in Arthur, you know, you just go through the whole list all the way down to
IGA in Hoopston, going on and on and on.
We're all over.
We don't have a Z, do we?
No, no Z's yet. Zion, Illinois, we'd have to go up
Zion,
there.
Hey, Zion, come on.
But we're continuing to add locations, and you can always pick up the Prime Lifetimes at Lincoln Square Mall here at the Great News Radio Center. It's, I think we have five different stands in this mall, two different stands.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah. And then two different stands at Marketplace Mall near the food court, one near the bathrooms in the food court down that hallway, and then over near Vitamin World, right near where you can pick up different brochures and
Stands. Sometimes papers go flying off.
Yeah, we're in a lot of places. We have to keep filling them up, so we have a great distribution team. I was kidding with somebody the other day that we actually have more staffing with the Prime Lifetimes paper that's only been going for these 7 or 8 months for us. It's a paper that's been out for 27 years. But a greater staff than after 22 years with the radio ministry.
Are you counting those of us who are doing double duty?
Yeah. You get a third count for all you guys.
You get four counts.
It's a neat work that God's doing, allowing us to be accessible to 26,000 plus monthly readers and the ever-growing radio listenership that wants to pick it up and subscribe to it, have it delivered to their home. We'll mail it first-class mail as soon as they come out, so you get it right away. And
praise God.
Others.
I mean, so many people are hearing about the station.
Yeah,
learning
about the station.
Because they hear about the paper, and they're like, well, who
they're
are these
the
people?
Story.
What's this about?
And the
you
story
know?
And the content, like both those stories.
Yeah.
They're just great, informative, interesting stories.
Right.
It's not all the trashy, bias.
Oh, I know.
You know,
it's just stuff, interesting stuff. Yeah.
Good stuff. Pick up your edition of the Prime Lifetimes before the next one comes out in about a week,
it's
the
exciting.
End of this week. So if you need more information, you can always call the station, 217-367-7777, or stop by greatnewsradio.org, and you'll see a link for the Prime Lifetimes, or go directly to theprimelifetimes.com. And don't forget, tune in tomorrow for the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends as we continue our readings into chapter, I think, 2 and 3 of Memories of an African Son by our very own Marianne Simpkins. That's tomorrow during the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. All right, everyone, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Marianne Simpkins with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.